This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The war in Hamas, Gaza, the war in Hezbollah, Lebanon, the war in Syria, in Iran, all of that comes to two men. Bibi Netanyahu, the longtime Prime Minister of Israel, and Donald J. Trump, once again President of the United States. In these last hours, Times of Israel reporting, Mr. Netanyahu congratulates Mr. Trump and predicts, quote, best days of Israeli-U.S. relations ahead. At the same time, Mr. Trump is quoted in the same time frame, not confident the Gaza hostage ceasefire deal will hold through all three phases. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who's just back from the Holy Land, to help us look at both these men and their expectations of working together after the challenging days of the Biden administration through the war launched October 7th, 2023. Jonathan, very good evening to you. Thank you. Mr. Netanyahu working closely with President Trump, yes. But President Trump hesitates about the hostage deal. First, your opinion. The relationship between Netanyahu and Trump, is it a positive development where we are right now, or is it positive because it's not Mr. Biden anymore? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think, John, the first thing to note is, of course, that the Israelis are looking forward to the reuniting with Donald Trump. Things are not perfect, I would say. When Trump left the stage last time, he was very disappointed with Benjamin Netanyahu because Netanyahu recognized the results of the election here in the United States. Trump felt that that was a betrayal of him personally, and he was furious with Netanyahu at the time. Of course, Netanyahu didn't have much choice in the matter. He needed to respect the results of the elections as they were being reported. There's only one president at a time, and if Trump had appeared to have lost, then he really had no choice in the matter. But the two men have had to overcome that. But since then, with Donald Trump returning, there's a lot of optimism about a tougher policy as it relates to Iran in particular. I think there was some tension as it related to the hostage deal, because, of course, this was something that Donald Trump was insisting upon. He was putting equal pressure, as we now understand it, on both Hamas and their patrons in Iran, even their patrons in Qatar, while also putting pressure on Israel to get a deal done. What you have now heard from Donald Trump relating to the longevity of the current hostage deal, I think, is a positive sign. The understanding that I gleaned when I was in Israel last week was that the Israelis don't see the net benefit of continuing into phase two or three of this hostage deal. They don't want to declare an end to the fighting, a permanent end to the fighting, which is what would happen if Israel went into phase two of this deal. So I think what Trump is now reflecting is that the Israelis don't want to surrender. They don't want to allow Hamas to be able to continue to exist in the Gaza Strip. And so Trump may be acknowledging Israel's intent not to continue to the deal past phase one. So in other words, 42 days, 33 hostages in exchange for 1,900 Hamas prisoners. But that would be the end of this process.
What controls, who controls, how controls the security in the Gaza Strip right now? Is it the IDF only, or is there some presence with weapons of Hamas in the Strip?
Right now, the Israelis have secured a perimeter around the entire Gaza Strip. They have maintained a significant presence in the Philadelphia corridor, which is the area that, John, you and I have discussed many times on this program. This is the border region separating the Gaza Strip from the Sinai Peninsula, from Egyptian territory. The Israelis do not trust the Egyptians to oversee this territory, and they will not be leaving it. They know now with certainty that this is where the weapons and fighters and cash, that's where it's all come in from, and the Israelis have vowed to prevent that from happening again. The last area that we need to be aware of is this so-called Netzarim corridor, which runs roughly two-thirds of the way up the Gaza Strip. And the Israelis have created a semi-permanent presence there. It seems as though they are going to be leaving the vast majority of that right now. There may be some people still operating the border between the sort of safe zone in the north and the rest of the Gaza Strip in the south. But I think what the Israelis have understood is that whatever progress they've made in clearing out those weapons from the northern Gaza Strip, they're going to lose ground, that will be what happens because they don't have anyone else filling in for them during this 42-day period. Hamas will gain strength, and the Israelis, I think, are determined to break down that strength, erode that strength again whenever the fighting resumes.
I saw photographs of what purported to be Hamas fighters, the green headband, the black face, the weapon tossed, thrown, held in the air. Who are those guys?
These are people that are part of the Hamas fighting regiments. You got to understand that there still were, let's say, out of the original 30,000 fighters that Hamas had started with at the beginning of this war, there's still probably about 4,000 of the original fighters left, right? So somewhere around 15% of their fighting force. They have also added new fighters to their ranks. They've been able to recruit, which is actually somewhat surprising at the end of the day. I did not foresee this, but even though fighting for Hamas is a virtual guarantee of death or severe injury or being captured on the battlefield, the Israelis have captured 4,000 fighters on the battlefield and brought them back for questioning. So this does not end well for anyone. But nonetheless, the Hamas cocktail of ideologies, that strong sense of nationalism and Islamism, is still a powerful force for recruitment. And so the Hamas terrorist organization has actually added an extra, let's say, 4,000 to 10,000 fighters to their ranks. So that actually brings us to maybe 30% of Hamas's original fighting force. The difference, though, between this fighting force and the one that began the war on October 7th, training. The Hamas fighters that have joined the ranks in recent months have not had the opportunity to go outside of the country to train in Iran, to train in Lebanon, to train in places like Turkey, where they gain valuable experience and can come back and are more lethal fighters on the battlefield. That's not what's happening. That likely means that they are going to look more like cannon fodder when and if the war resumes again.
So these are newbies? Pick up a weapon, cover your face, and you look like you're ferocious, but they're not.
Yeah, as one person explained to me, these are young men that would normally circulate in tracksuits that recently picked up an AK-47 and learned how to use it.
And what we have right now is the Israelis still in Gaza, but leaving entirely? Are they leaving equipment in there, anything like that?
I don't think they can leave equipment. They think they understand that there's a real danger to that, but they can leave, you know, in the Philadelphia corridor. They've got significant walls that they had built, and they have, civilian-type facilities and bathrooms and office buildings and the like. They will stay, and they will be under the observation of the IDF. I don't think you're going to see a full vacating of Netzarim, and certainly not of Philadelphia, but the numbers are going to be reduced drastically, as I understand it.
And the IDF, with top brass resigning, Smotrich says next army chiefs must be ready to resume war. All the IDF that was in charge of the combat this last year plus is resigning, or just the top guy, Halevi?
Herzi Halevi is the one that has resigned today. We know that Amir Bahram, his number two, his deputy, also has plans to leave. The head of the Shin Bet is on his way out. We're going to start to see, especially as the Israelis begin to feel like they've stabilized the region, which, by the way, may not be entirely true. We'll have to wait and see what happens at the end of this ceasefire. We'll have to see where Iran shakes out after all of this. We have to see where the Houthis are with all of this. But there is a sense of stabilization right now in Israel, maybe not peace, but stabilization. And that is, I think, giving a sense to those that have been fighting this war now for the last 15 months, not sleeping, not going home, not seeing their families, that perhaps it's time for a change. I think we're also seeing Benjamin Netanyahu maybe gain an upper hand here, that he's delivered a hostage deal. He's, you know, looks like he's, you know, really prevailed in Lebanon and in Gaza. This does not look like a man who's going to be kicked out of office anytime soon. I think he is flexing muscles right now and trying to install loyalists and people that are ultimately going to meet the conditions of his coalition partners. And so when Bezalel Smotrich, one of the more right-wing politicians, you know, when he and Ben-Gvir, the other right-wing sort of gadfly within the Israeli system, when they talk about whoever comes next, they're talking about their vision for the complete dismantling of Hamas. And that's, I think, ultimately what they're most what they most prioritize. And again, I think it's important to note that when they talk about a return to the battlefield, this was just echoed by Donald Trump. There seems to be an alignment here that Israel will be going back into Gaza unless something drastic happens. My guess is that within 42 days, maybe sooner, we will see the resumption of this war. It's what the Israeli system wants, and it's apparently something that Donald Trump understands.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Shanzer, executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, just returned from the Holy Land. Other capitals are watching these days very carefully. When we come back, Beirut, Damascus, Cairo, Tehran.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.